Believe this is a gospel message that we ought to be very willing to share to those that we come in contact with. I want to start by giving a little account. Years ago, when my boys were very small, I used to tell them something over and over again. In one of them kind of adopted part of what I told them as a kind of a nickname. Most time nicknames are kind of given to you by other people, and it seemed like he kind of adopted this for himself. But anyway, I used to tell the boys over and over again, you need to use your head for something besides a hat rack. And I told it to them a lot, because when they would do something not thinking about the end result of what would happen when they done that, that's what I would say. I would tell them, you need to use your head for something besides a hat rack. You know, Jesus, I believe, probably repeated himself on important points multiple times. And I'd like to point us to one this morning where I believe we have two accounts almost word for word in the scripture. And I believe it's important to note that it's almost exactly word for word in our King James translation. Very, very small differences. The one I'm going to read is in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 24th verse. And the setting here is in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse, you can read it there. And it's Jesus' words there as well. And it's in the account of the parable of the unjust steward. So, at the conclusion of that. So, these two passages, as I said, are almost word for word. The one here in Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I wonder if we have two accounts in our scripture recording, if we have two accounts, and it appears that it's possibly at different settings, I wonder how many times Jesus said that. I would venture to say that he said it more than twice. I believe he tried to emphasize to the ones that he ministered to he preached, that he preached to, that you can't, as an individual, you can't serve two masters. It's just not possible. You're either going to serve one and hate the other one, or you're going to serve that one and despise the other one. It's just, you're just not going to serve. You know, multitasking is a novel idea. And I believe that we can do some things in multiples. I believe we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I believe that you can do things like house sitting and reading a book at the same time. But there's a lot of times that multitasking is either overrated or it's an optimistic misconception. Some people think they can do two things at once, and really they're either doing one and then do another, doing one and then do another. You know, and that can be confusing. It is for me anyway. And Jesus says, you're either going to worship this one, you're either going to serve this master or this master. And we come to settings like this trying to get our bearings and understand who I'm serving. What am I following? what's important to me in life. And I'm thankful that we have these times to assess the direction I'm going. And I believe the thing that I want us to get a hold of, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You're not going to be able to please them both. You can't do them at the same time. What is the implication of having a master mean? It means that you're under their authority. You're under their control. You're going to do what they dictate to you to do. So, Paul expressed some of his feelings and his struggles. Paul wasn't a disciple of Christ while Jesus was in his active ministry, but he was an adherent and became known as the Apostle Paul because of his devotion, and he was sold out. He was sold out. He was not serving another master. He was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Romans, the 7th chapter, I'd like to notice a few verses here of the struggle that Paul faced in trying to satisfy, in trying to... It was almost like he realized he was trying to do two things at one time. In Romans, the 7th chapter, we'll begin reading in the 11th verse. He says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. I remember one time, was on the job, and someone that was kind of working as an apprentice and kind of had went on their own, doing their own repairs and things like that. It's been a number of years ago. They were taking a vehicle apart, and part of the process was to put a holding fixture in place to hold the engine up while you took something out, took the transmission out, actually. And so they had worked with me, and they had known that you worked kind of vaguely where to hook this up, and they had just hooked it up, and they had this thing mostly disassembled, and I just walked by and just glanced at where they had it hooked, and they had one of the attachment points was on the plastic intake manifold. And so I told them, I said, well, hold it just a minute here. That is not going to work. You're going to support the whole weight of this powertrain on this plastic. That you've got to do something better than that. We're fixing to have a catastrophe on our hands. So many times in our spiritual walk, if we're not careful, we can get in a place where we feel like things are out of control. And you know, Paul didn't know so much that things were displeasing, except the law exposed that to him. This person that was attached it to something that was plastic probably didn't realize or have the comprehension of what he was attempting to do there. But when someone comes along and says, that's not going to work, when Jesus comes along in our life and says, this is not acceptable for Christianity, then we have this quandary on our hands, and we realize that we've got to choose which one we're going to serve. So Paul says here, for sin taking occasion by the commandment, or in other words, there was an opportunity because of the commandment to be like God, to follow His law, there was an opportunity here for sin to be manifest, because it wasn't convenient for me to do what the law wanted me to do. He says, it deceived me, and by it slew me. So I became under the control of another master. All right? He says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. I believe what God expects out of us is good, it's holy, and it's just. It's not unjust, okay? And he says, Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So we want it to be very clear in our lives who we're serving. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve one or you're going to serve the other. And Paul says, I want this process to reveal the things that's displeasing to God, and I want it to be very, very apparent. You know, if we will ask God, Lord, help me to understand this thing that maybe we've been a little bit exposed to, that have you ever heard somebody say to the child, I don't know how to say this exactly. Big boys don't act like that. You ever heard any phrase similar to that? Big girls don't do this or what? Well, you know, that's a pretty broad statement. You know, you can apply that to a lot of things. I mean, if a little boy is maybe doing something that's a little immature, you can say, well, big boys don't act like that. And immediately it's like, oh, well, I'm supposed to stop doing this. There's an implication here that that's not acceptable for my age bracket, and I want to be bigger than I really am, see. So, but when it really comes down, when it really makes a behavioral adjustment, is they understand why this is not good for big boys to do. So the Apostle Paul says, I want the Lord to give me an understanding where I'm convinced this is displeasing to Him. It's more than just, well, if you're claiming to be a Christian, you don't do that. You know, probably people that have endeavored to serve in the ministry has been accused of throwing that around too much. And it's, you know, I don't believe that, you know, other than a few nudges, I don't believe that that's really the minister's job. The minister's job is to say, look, here's the toolbox, and this is how you use it, and you need to get this for yourself. That's our salvation, is a personal experience. I'm telling you, I can't testify for you. When we get to the end of life's way, I'm not gonna be standing there by. I'd love to be there with all of us. And I'd love to give you my glowing testimony for you. But it won't work that way. If you can't stand on your own two feet and look God in the eye with a clear conscience, you're not gonna make it. That's the bottom line. And for us to make it and have a clear conscience, we need to be like Paul and have a real understanding. If somebody comes along and say, Christians don't act like that, then I need to know what it is about that Christians shouldn't do that. All right? I need to have this. I need it to be exceedingly sinful to me. Something that I am convinced, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to get that out of my life because I want to serve this master over here. I don't want to come under the control of Satan. I don't want to go down that path. So he says that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. I have the flesh to deal with. And I'm sold under sin. I didn't have a choice. I came into this world as a carnal man, a depraved nature. I was not predisposed to be righteous. I was predisposed to be unrighteous because of the depravity of human nature. But because God has grace to enable me to rise above that, and I want to serve Him. So for me to serve Him, I got to realize how ugly it is to serve the other force. Okay? He says, for that which I do allow not, for what I would that I do not. But what I hate that I do, I'm in a struggle. I'm trying. Have you ever heard about somebody, or maybe it's just always been a joke, but if you got two pieces of machinery and you're trying to move them somewheres, I guess you could, if you didn't have two drivers, one of you could drive ahead a little bit and you can run back and go get the other one and drive it up and then go a little farther and run back and forth. That's kind of like sometimes multitasking is. You can't really do both of them at the same time, but you're just going back and forth a whole bunch. And that's what Paul felt like he was doing. I'm going back and forth all the time between doing what I know I ought to do and doing what I can't help but do. All right? He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Boy, this is a mess, isn't it? I can't hardly see my way out of this. And don't you think that the reputation and the words of Jesus, whether they were written down by this point or not, don't you know that Paul had heard from the original disciples that Jesus says, you can't serve God and man and mammon. You can't serve two masters. And Paul is thinking about that, and he's, at this point in his experience, he's looking back to where he was before he met Christ, all right? He's looking back at his life before he came to the freedom gospel, before he was set free. He was looking back to that, and he says, I knew that there was things I shouldn't be doing, but I couldn't hardly help myself. I was just going back and forth, this way and that way, and it was so confusing and so distressing to me. So he says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'll skip down here to the 24th verse. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's pretty wretched to try to please two masters at the same time. If you've ever worked at a place where you've had supervisors above you and they've gave you conflicting instructions, it can be very distressful. So he says here, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I don't want to go down this path of destruction for my soul. I don't want to go down a path that's displeasing to God. I want to go that way, but every time I take a step in that direction, something drags me back. But I'm going to tell you today, there is a gospel message that will fix this problem. All right? In Isaiah, the first chapter and 18th verse, this is something that I believe is God's plan for mankind for many, many, many generations. I believe that even in Isaiah's time, when he was looking around at all of the idolatrous practices that was creeping in and becoming more prevalent amongst the Israelite nation, at that time, I believe that he looked onto that and was heartsick at the destruction that it was causing in men's lives. But he says here in 1 and 18, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you realize you're in the place that you're contaminated, you've been following the wrong master, you've been living the wrong way, he says, let's stop and think about this, let's reason together. There is a plan, there is a method, there's a something that will give you freedom from your sins. All right? I believe he was talking, Isaiah was specifically talking about the situation that the Israelite nation was in at that time. That they could be delivered. They didn't have to follow idols. But I want to tell you, I believe it applies to us today, even in a more complete sense. So I could go maybe try to go through a lot of logic, and my logic would not always perfectly impress you, but I just want you to know that God wants to reason with us today. If you feel like that you have gone too far to turn back, if you ever feel like you're in a place that you're hopelessly undone and there's no way out of this, and it's just, I can't ever do the right thing, and you feel like the Apostle Paul had looked back in his life and realized that there was a time in his life that if the things he wanted to do, he couldn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he ended up doing them anyway. If you felt like that in the past, if you feel like that today, I'm reasoning with you, with the help of the Lord, you can be different. There is freedom in the gospel. Freedom from bondage of serving the wrong master. So I'd like to turn now to John, the third chapter. And this is some very personal words that was given to a man that came and was asking Jesus questions under the guise of darkness. And he came to ask these questions because I guess he was just not, although he was a ruler of the Jews, he was ashamed to come and ask Jesus in public. He came in the dark. So he came to Jesus in the third chapter of St. John, and beginning in the third verse, Jesus answered Nicodemus, is who he's talking to, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time?" He just, you know, just logically thinking here. Into his mother's womb and be born, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." So what's the secret? How do you get a hold of this freedom? It's to be born again. Have you ever thought, boy, it'd be great if I was born into a different family? You ever thought that? I don't know that I've ever just spent a lot of time on it, but I always thought it'd be interesting to have been raised in a different... Would I be the same type of person that I am today if I'd have been raised in a different home? I'm not going to answer that for you. would you be different if you'd been... You know, some people can say, oh, the reason I can't ever do this and I can't ever do that and I'll never achieve that and I'll never accomplish whatever it is. I was just born at the wrong time. I was born in the wrong dispensation. I should have been born in the 1700s, you know. I really like flintlocks. Or whatever it is. I should have been born, I'm just too ahead of everybody. I'm too early. It should be another 100 years before I was born. Or whatever is in your head. You know, we can think, well, you know, if I'd have had parents like so-and-so, then I'd been more like so-and-so. Well, maybe, but here's your opportunity. There's a way out of the old master, the old being a child of the devil. There's a way out of that. There's freedom from that. And here's how you do it. You become born again by the grace of God. When His grace is dealing with your heart and you recognize, I'm just like the Apostle Paul. Every time I try to get a step ahead of the wrong things, it seems like something snatches me and drags me back into some old habit, some old thought, some old grievance that comes along, and it's something that I don't want to be part of, but yet I can't really help myself. I just have to recognize this is what goes on in your head. I just have to think, well, that's who I am, and maybe the Lord will have mercy on me. No, Jesus says you can't serve two masters. He said that more than once, maybe more than twice. I think He probably said it a lot. I think He said it so much that people wrote it down. I think that people around Him begin to believe it. And they say you got to say something at least 7 times before people hear it. And 14 times before they believe it. Well, did He say it 14 times? 14 different situations? I don't know. But I believe that He meant it. I believe He meant that you can't serve two masters, and He told Nicodemus, here's the deal. You can't get out of the situation that you was in, the mindset that you have, you're under another authority, but He says the way out is to be born again. You can be a different creature. All right? So let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. And notice beginning in verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look at what Paul says. God forbid. Don't try to serve two masters. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's a different... Well, you're born again. You're free. You don't have to go back to the same old thing again. Because now you can tell... the devil, I'm not your child anymore. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. He's my heavenly Father. And you were a horrible father. There's a lot of bad fathers in this world today. They either don't support their children, they don't stay in the home, they don't teach their children. There's a lot of bad father examples out there. And the devil is one of them. And he'll take you right to destruction if you follow him. But we can say, you ain't my daddy anymore. I know that's pretty colloquial, but I don't belong to you anymore. I've been born again. I'm free from that bondage. This message of the gospel is a message of freedom. You can be different. By the help of God. He says here, just like Christ was buried in the grave, the literal grave, and raised up to be, that's what we talked about last Sunday, He come out of that grave. And He's alive. He just as He come out of that grave, we can walk in newness of life. He says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the like be we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're not going to be under that master anymore. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to either serve one and hate the other, or you're going to listen to the other one and despise that one. You're going to do one of the two. You're not going to do both. You can't. There is no multitask good and evil in life. You're either going to be following the devil or you're going to be following the Lord. One of the two. And I'm telling you that we can be free from following the enemy. We can tell him, you're not my father anymore. I've been adopted by a Heavenly Father. And by His grace and His power, I'm going to follow His instructions. I'm going to follow His direction in life. I'm free. The Lord has saved me. Isn't that what the song says? So let's go to John, the 8th chapter. Bring our little thought to a close this morning. In John, the 8th chapter, we notice the setting here is Jesus says, went into the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. You know, I see these scribes. Jesus was teaching, I believe, in a compassionate, manner. I believe he was connecting with the people that was listening to him. And I see these Pharisees, they had been looking for an opportunity to really make a scene. And they found one. They got this woman taken in adultery. And so I can see them bringing her in, kind of smirking on their face. I don't know, that's just my thoughts. Just feeling elated that they had a situation. And they brought her right in. I can see them kind of wedging themselves into the discussion. Had that happen just recently. Drew had come to talk to me about something on the job, and a customer walks in, and I could tell that he had something on his mind, and he really just kind of rooted right in between us, literally, and in the conversation, and interjected his problems that was totally disconnected with what we were talking about. And I believe that's what happened here. These Pharisees came in, and it doesn't matter what Jesus was talking about, they had a bee in their bonnet, they had something they was going to say, and they got right in there, and they said, look, they said in him, Master, you're the one we're looking up to. This woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. We've seen her do it. She's guilty. Now Moses and the law commanded us that that such should be stoned. What do you say? Totally derailed whatever he was teaching. This they said, tempting him that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger and wrote in the ground as though he heard them. This is not really the thought, but I want to just interject something here. You know that when the enemy comes along and tries to upset our life, many times we feel a responsibility to answer him. You know, well, now what are you going to do? And immediately we tend to get kind of flustered and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Jesus didn't do that. He just stopped and stooped down and wrote on the ground. And after he wrote on the ground, so they continued asking him. He lifted himself. They just pushed the point. What are you going to do with this woman? We caught her in that. We've seen her doing it. He said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And he went back to doodling on the ground with his finger. And after a while, they just began to disappear. And after they disappeared, it says here, when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Nobody threw a rock. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You're free. You're free. So I want to tell you today, by the grace of God, in the power and authority of God, if you feel like you've been caught serving the other master, I want you to know you can be free today. Any message that someone tries to give you that says that you can live for God and live for the devil at the same time is false doctrine. The doctrine of the gospel is you can be free. There's deliverance. You can be born again. You can bury the old man and be resurrected to walk in the newness of life. So any philosophy, any doctrine that says you can do right and wrong at the same time is false. It's not scriptural. It's not sound doctrine. It'll get you in trouble. Just like it's going to get you in trouble if you're trying to... have you ever seen anybody... what, 2 years ago when we had corded phones, you know, go into the parts room and somebody's looking up parts and they have a phone on this ear and a phone on that ear and they'd be turning them up like this. You ever seen anybody doing that stuff? I don't know how they even attempted to do that. Hold on just a minute here. I got to talk this up. You know, back and forth like that. You know, there's people out there that want to tell you, you can be listening to God and the devil at the same time, and God understands. Just think about this. If you was on the other end, and you're trying to get something for your application, whatever, and you're talking to this parts man, he says, hold on just a minute, I got somebody else on the line. But, okay, now, what was we talking about? Going back and forth. Do you know what I would probably do? I'd probably say, you know what? I think I'm going to call somebody who's got time to take care of my situation and hang up. I want somebody that's helping me and not putting me on hold all the time. You know, the Lord wants us to be tuned in, and He says you can't serve two masters. He says you can't do that. He also says that the way out is to be born again. And He also says, if you've been caught in the very act, He says, go and don't do that again. You can be different now. You can be free from the bondage of that sin. Of that, whatever it is that's got control over you, that master that's ruling you and jerking you around and causing you to be tormented with the things I want to do. It seems like every time I go that way, I get jerked back and doing something else. I want to tell you, there's freedom from that. And the path out is to be born again. Set your face like a flint. Ask God to help you on a daily, consistent basis. And every time a soul comes to Him and says, I'm just torn. I know I ought to do different. I know I ought to do better things. I know I'm not doing the right thing. I ought to do better and all this stuff. There's a way out. You can be, the message of the gospel is freedom. You can be free from that. I want to be free. And I don't want to ever allow the other master to come back in my life. I want to serve the Lord. You pray for me.